Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And it is great to have you with us tonight. And we have an unbelievable guest with us this evening that's going to absolutely just knock your socks off. But one of the most beautiful things I see every evening, look at this. The sunset right here in Houston, Texas, behind me, right over the Texas Medical Center. And it is just an honor to get to look and see that sun go down every single night, even though it's 100 degrees here and that's in the shade. It's a beautiful place to be, and I encourage you to come and visit us in Houston. You will not leave disappointed, and you will probably leave a couple pounds heavier because our food is so good here in this town. We have a good guest tonight, a great guest, and I'm looking forward to this. And Myla's going to be with us in just a second. I just want to let you know that there's a lot of things going on that I'm excited about. The last of all of the edits in my new book, the cover and the back cover and the photos and everything has been completed. It's at the press right now being published, and I am looking forward to that. There'll be here a knock on my door, and they bring in all of these cases of books here shortly. So that's coming out, and that's the teenage and 20-year-old, 30-year-old version of a book that I entitled With the Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And we're going to talk about this in the next couple of weeks, probably spend a whole show on it, so I won't belabor it today, but it is where if you have an instance that's going on with a teenager, a young adult, somebody that's just in that millennial age that doesn't know where to turn to. It's the book that I wrote that I would have liked to had on the shelf when I was going through what I was dealing with in life, from abuse, depression, suicide thoughts, low self-esteem, all of those, how to get through those days. And I really believe this is the most exciting book that I've written and work that I've done, because I love the young generation, and our country, our world has let them down by being so self-absorbed in ourselves and what's going on in our own world and leaving our kids behind. So I'm looking forward to that. When the Dark Clouds Come, and I will let you know all about that, and when it hits the bookstores and on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of that. So be looking forward to sharing that with you. Before we bring our guest on, I just want to kind of start off with something that I was thinking about this afternoon. And I just want to share with you, sometimes happiness in our lives doesn't need to be achieved. We just kind of have to make room for it. And our minds, my mind, your mind, can often be filled with anxiety, regret, resentment, worry, disappointments, anger, rage, depression, and leaving no room for a smile. Some people actually believe that what happens to them determines their happiness. And I want to encourage you, and I want to kind of let the secret out, that the reality is how you deal with those things determines how you feel. Not necessarily what happens to you, but how you deal with what happens to you. Because if we allow what happens to us to control our feelings, then we're letting an outside influence determine our destiny, our day, our next moments. And that's so wrong. Miserable thoughts, in my world, and maybe in yours too, may also be familiar. And familiarity causes us sometimes, is the reason that we hold on to those thoughts much longer than what we ever should in the first place, just because it's familiar. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. And I'm looking in the mirror right now because I need this probably more than you do. Try to let those yesterdays go. There will be a point, and I promise you, that some of that pain will eventually make sense. And there will be a point that some of that pain never will make sense. So we have this need to always make sense of things, but it's at the expense of the ability to be able to enjoy right now. So whatever you've experienced today, pause that and just focus on our guest tonight. Just focus on the topics, because it's going to be unbelievable how this service that she provides, an unbelievable talent that she has, can even come into a fathom of people that have been hurt like me. Like, how does this all play in? You're going to find out how this all maps out in a wonderful game plan and a wonderful foundational truth that we all need to know. So try to let the past stay where it belongs. I promise you, the lessons are going to find you. And focus on the improving the way you feel right now. Because sometimes that's all we have is right now. Tonight, I want to let you know that if you want to get involved in our conversation, it's 888-627-6008. And the beautiful people at BBS Radio will patch you right in, and you'll get to talk to the guests and myself tonight about whatever topic that we're talking about. If you have a comment or you just have a question. But tonight, it's an honor to have Myla Golovine. I hope I pronounced the last name right. I didn't, but she's
perfect.
That's right.
Oh, perfect.
Perfect. Good. Golovine. Good. She is a graduate of the first class of the U of H, University of Houston, Wolf Center for Entrepreneurship at the Bauer College of Business. And Myla, years later, runs the Global Language Solutions Company that she presented in the class plan years ago, and it started in 1993. She's grown, and listen, write this company's name down, Master Word, all one word with the W on word being capitalized, Master Word, into a world-ranked top 50 multi-million dollar company that delivers languages and the access to those languages and enables the success of international organizations, projects, and initiatives in over 400 plus languages. I'm from Southern Illinois. I can't hardly even talk English, but I try really hard. And just listening to her and getting to tap into her wisdom tonight is going to be a joy. Her resume is so much longer than that, but I'll let her tell us more about her and her business and her company and her passion for life. Myla, can you hear me tonight?
Absolutely. Can you guys hear me? And thank you.
Welcome to, of course, you do this. You have your own radio program, too. Welcome to live radio tonight. And it's good to get to talk to you for the first time this evening and get to see your face. And I'm so glad you're here with us tonight.
Thank you.
Tell me what Masterword is all about. And I guess I got associated or familiar with you at something that probably wouldn't even, how does it even go into the touch of the Houston Human Trafficking Coalition that I spoke at? And Frankie was there on your behalf and did a wonderful job. Tell me, Milo, what's Masterword all about?
So Masterword, we're a language company. We provide interpreters to help with verbal communication. And then we work with translation, which is written communication. And when we work with interpreters, we enable language access to healthcare, education, legal system, social services for limited English proficiency and deaf and hard of hearing individuals. And as such, we work with a lot of people who have been abused in one way or another. And with survivors of human, we come across a lot of survivors or a number of survivors. There's never enough survivors. I think the number is something like less than 1% or around 1% of people that are in human trafficking actually successfully make it out of that. So we work with survivors of human trafficking and help them communicate as well. So imagine being in a situation where somebody is abused. And on top of that, you're not able to communicate. You're not even able to communicate in English or your language. So, and you don't even know how to ask for help because you don't know the country. The few people that make it into the system where they're being helped, that's the people we help work with. And so that's why you saw us that they were very involved with the United Against Human Trafficking organization and working very actively within that field.
Yes, you know, when we spoke earlier about some different things that you're doing and I'm doing and how we can kind of combine them and work together, you started talking about the importance, and I never put that together, of the importance of having an understanding, because I've always been here and I'm able to always communicate, even though when I try to communicate with somebody that is Hispanic or has a Spanish language, I can't speak Spanish and I feel that deficit. But I can't imagine being in an environment where you're not able to even tap into that.
That's so much more difficult, right? And part of the work that I do personally is train interpreters on how to work with survivors of human trafficking or of survivors of trauma or torture or abuse. And at the same time, we also have training for social workers and other professionals on how do you communicate through trauma and then cultural differences, right? And then you have the difference of culture and trauma that affects effective communication. Because sometimes when a person is affected by high trauma, right, you go into what's called emotional, you flood, your system flood, you're outside of your window of tolerance, and you're not even able, it takes 30 seconds to process a simple question, what is your name, right? And so on top, when your ability to comprehend is affected, when your ability to communicate or to talk, to express yourself is affected because of high level of trauma, then on top of that, you have a linguistic barrier, whether it's deaf, you're deaf and hard of hearing, or whether you don't speak English. And then on top of that, on the other side, you may have a social worker or a medical professional or legal professional who also don't understand your culture. And that makes communication so much more difficult. So I have made it my mission to bridge that gap and create training that I deliver for free for both the language professionals and professionals in other fields, in hopes to educate as many people as possible about this, how to communicate effectively.
So when you got into this and you was a graduate of U of H and you know, you had the tassel pull over and the diploma handed to you, was this the goal that you always had in mind as a life mission, or how did this come about to be a passion of yours now? Then it's just not just a company, it has a deeper meaning.
Well, it's interesting, and you were talking earlier about how our challenges many times come around to us as lessons or as blessings, right? And how important it is to look at things not in the way but on the way, and how we can reframe, you know, our perceptions, because it's really the only thing we control is our perceptions, and then they affect our decisions, and then they affect our actions, and therefore we kind of create our reality of what we have. So I grew up in the Soviet Union, and where everything was controlled behind the Iron Curtain. And I was very fortunate to be able to come to the U.S. as a student, and then stay here and in this country. So everything was controlled. There was complete lack of access to information. The government controlled everything. And as such, out of my void came my drive. Out of the void of not having access to information came my drive to give people access to information. When you are told what to think, when you are not allowed to read things, when you're not allowed to have both sides of or all the sides of the information, then I think that's access to knowledge is a form of discrimination in a way. And so the business came out of my strong desire to connect people to each other, to connect people to information and knowledge. And as it evolved, and originally we didn't have the mission of, you know, supporting and working with survivors of trauma. But as we grew as a company and we started working with more and more refugee communities and meeting people from different countries who come here, and you see teachers and doctors and lawyers and children and older people and adults. And the one thing they have in common is something terrible that happened to them, right, in their life. And then as I got exposed to the world of human trafficking and the world of child abuse, I wanted to kind of give a voice of those without the voice, that already don't have a voice. And then on top of that, they have this language barrier.
Well, that's beautiful. I tell you, we're going to take our first break. On the other side of this commercial, I want to dig into that subject a little bit more. I want to dig into possibly the different layers that are involved with dealing with somebody that has been abused, and that stigma of being able to talk to them, and how the different cultures are such a vast difference than what we as Americans may not even understand, although we act like we do. Where are we missing the boat? Because you know, you're probably one of the most educated people on this in the country that can tell us, hey, this is where we need to realign our values and our understanding and get a better picture of what we're dealing with. So we're going to do about that on the other side of this first commercial break. 888-627-6008. Feel free to call in and talk to Myla directly if you have a question or comment, or you can also do it right on our Shattered by the Darkness page that my son Curtis is looking at right now and working all the way from Seattle, Washington. So feel free to get on there and put your comments too. We'll be right back after this first commercial break. Hang with us. finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. Already getting a couple texts, which is unusual. I don't usually get them this early in the program. Milo, they're saying, how can we get in touch with you and your services? What's the best way? Because sometimes we'll get on a topic and go all the way up to the last part of the hour. They'll cut us off because we're live and they got to go to the next show. And I want to make sure people have that opportunity to hear if they want to reach out to you and find out more about Master Word. What's the best way to do that, Milo?
They can find information about the company at www.masterword.com, masterword.com, or you can call 281-589-0810, and you can ask to speak to me as well, and I will be happy to talk to anybody who would love to talk to me.
You know, that's fantastic. You know, Milo, I don't believe I've had anybody on that is the president and the CEO of such a large company as yours that you just gave out your personal cell phone number that they can call and talk to you direct or at least have access to you. So thank you. That tells me a little bit about your heart, that you're not just in this for the business, you're in this for the impact, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I gave the main number. If people want to have my cell phone number, Gregory, Dr. Williams, if they can reach out to you, and I will be thrilled to do that as well. We'll be thrilled to connect. And actually, my cell phone number is, I use it a lot for work, and because I'm very open to basically 24/7 to connect to whomever needs help.
That's great. That tells you what kind of person you are, and I appreciate that. In this work, when you first initially started it out, where did you find from the culture that you came from? Because, okay, let's just get behind that curtain that you came from. How much do we Americans miss what really is going on in a country where communication isn't as readily available? Are we just absolutely spoiled here and we don't understand what that's all about in a different culture?
Well, in a way, I wouldn't use the word spoiled. I would use the word blessed. And there is a part of the world that's very blessed where you can have access to information. And actually, talking to somebody years ago about, at that time, it was George Bush Jr., who had one of the lowest ratings in history. And I was making a comment about it, and somebody corrected me and said, count your blessings that you can live in the country where a president can have the lowest rating in history. Because when you find yourself with a president that has 100% approval rating, you find yourself in North Korea. And that completely reframed me. And I kind of looked back at the U.S. history all the way. And it's like every president at one point or another had the worst rating. And just from that point on, my perception changed. And I looked at it as a blessing.
Good way to look at it.
Different way to look at it. So we're blessed to have access to information, but even if, let's say, people who are limited English proficiency will be encountering them in this country, because the subject of what happens outside of this country and the subject about the rights of children and the amount of child abuse that happens in countries where it's normalized and the amount of just trauma that happens in the world that we frequently see on the news here. That's a very big and broad subject. But if we narrow it down to what we encounter here, so you're dealing with a person who has all of these emotions, like you're describing on the inside, right? That are then on top of that affected by what is the guilt and shame from that culture that comes in, right? What is the normalized ability to speak up or not speak up? And then that makes it even more difficult for that person to reach out for help. And on the other hand, when people in this country, let's say, be they teachers or be they medical professionals who are trying to look for signs of abuse, then also need to be aware of cultural differences. For example, a smile, in this country, people smile very openly. But in smile in certain parts of Asia, people would smile intensely only as a sign of distress. You see somebody smiling very intensely, that may be actually highly distressed. Or another difference, eye-to-eye contact. Here in the West, you go, tell me, look me in the eyes if you're looking at me. If you're talking to me, if you tell me the truth, it's eye-to-eye contact. But in the Philippines, for example, kids are told, don't look me in the eyes if you respect me. If you're talking to me and you want to show me respect, don't look me in the eyes. And in some parts of the world, and actually in certain subcultures, even here in the U.S., eye-to-eye contact means an invitation for a sexual encounter. And women trying to avoid that eye-to-eye contact as, you know, they're not looking forward to a sexual encounter. So many cues, many body language cues are different across cultures. Many cultures would show signs of distress differently. And those are also important things to keep in mind.
So you're not just a language translating company. You try to involve the entire gamut of body language, the whole, so we understand the difference in the cultures, not just translating the words.
I think cultural awareness and understanding is very important in effective communication.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed in my own counseling, that when I counsel people that call and I'll do a Zoom or whatever online and we'll talk with different cultures, it seems like there's a complete different level that I sometimes have to break through before I ever get to the meat of what the issue is. For instance, in the Indian culture, the Native Indian culture, it is so hard to break into that culture of being able to get them to even admit any type of abuse. Even the Hispanic culture, it is harder to get them to open up, unlike the Caucasian culture. The African-American has a different, and the Asian has, what do you see as in the area of abuse and pain and hurt and trauma, what do you see maybe some of the big things that we just absolutely miss when it comes to how they deal with it compared to how someone like me would deal with it and how we need to have a more open understanding of it?
Well, I think I may just complicate a little bit, but then simplify what you just said. Okay. Culture is, yes, we have the traditional view of culture as country, right? We go, oh, this is Chinese culture, and this is Mexican culture, and this is Argentinian culture or German culture. But at the same time, culture, actually, we as people form a family culture, a group culture of the neighborhood where we're living in, or a city culture, or let's say a culture of an organization that we belong in. And one of the things that will happen is, let's say, people who are trafficked, as they're, let's say they're trafficked and they're in a group, they will form their own culture in that group. You will have a culture formed within the organization where you work. You'll have your work culture, definitely. And then culture among the friends. Let's say you are a fan of baseball or a different sport. And let's say you and your friends get together. And so that group will also have its own culture. And so as a person, we will behave different within the different parts of culture. I give you an example. When the same group of people were, so in the US, in Anglo culture, we organize time from left to right. And in Chinese, I believe when it's written, it's top to bottom. And for example, in the Anglo culture, we think about, we will point to the front of us when we talk about the future. And we will point behind us when we talk about the past. But there are other cultures, let's say Malagasy, they will point to the front when they talk about the past and the back when they talk about the future. Why? Because you know everything about the past and you have full clarity and you can see everything about your past and your future is unknown. Your future has no eyes. It hasn't happened yet. And when the same group of people were asked, for example, to organize pictures of actors in chronological order, and they were given pictures of American actors. They organized them left to right, and then they were given pictures of Chinese actors. They organized them top to bottom. So we shift the way we think when we shift between language and we shift between the cultural group. And so the complexity for the medical professional, the social worker who or the teacher who is working with somebody who's been affected by trauma is to read through that culture and to be hyper alert and hyper aware of the cues that the person is communicating. Is the person a high context or a low context communicator? Low context communicator person, when you ask them, how are you doing? You'll say, I'm doing fine. Right, the traditional Western response in a way. But if you ask somebody from a high context communication, they will start telling you the full story. And what it would seem to you, let's say you are a Western professional from an Anglo culture, it would seem to you as a lot of wasted information. They start telling you how the grandmother used to prepare a certain remedy and then it didn't work. And you're like, why? Okay, what relevance does it have? And then what happens is, as the person from the high context communication culture tells you that story, it may take you 2 or 3 minutes longer to listen to that story, but you will actually build trust with that high context communication person. That allows you to build trust. And trust is something that's incredibly important, because trust is what gets broken in the case of abuse and trauma. And so being able to rebuild that trust by just being aware and looking at the styles of communication of the person in front of you. So when we do the training, we explain different styles, different cultures, different ways of thinking. And then we're not asking anybody to be an anthropology level expert, PhD level expert in any particular culture. The most important thing is just to have an open mind and an open heart. And instead of going judging, right, we will normally try to judge the behavior and we will go, oh, that was in the case of high context communication, a lot of unnecessary information. Can we just get to the point? Or in case of some other cultures, you say Native American cultures have beliefs about hair. And when somebody's asked to shave their skull, you suddenly don't know that for that particular culture, you may be taking their life force away. And is there another way? Right. And as you're trying to build trust, as you're trying to build through that communication gap, instead of questioning, you know, at it going that if it's making you uncomfortable, how can we get through that? Going and asking a question, I wonder why this person is trying to do that. And if you ask that question, I wonder why, and then go deeper in with an open heart of trying to understand the person, where they're coming from, that will pretty much allowed to bridge any gap. I wonder why this person is not looking me in the eyes. Not automatically assuming that they're telling me a lie, but okay, they're not looking me in the eyes. I wonder why, and kind of maybe even asking that question. Approaching it from the point of an open heart and open mind. And I keep repeating that because I want for that to sink in.
Right. You're based in Houston, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. In the diversity that we have in our community, which is unbelievably diverse and unbelievably awesome. I love that when you get on an elevator, there's eight people. You could have eight different countries represented in that elevator at any given time. And I just love that because we didn't have that. I grew up predominantly white neighborhood, and we just never saw anybody from other cultures. It just wasn't there back in those days. Do you think that every school in communities like ours, Houston, needs this type of training for the teachers? Because they have a classroom that isn't just Houstonites. It's, you know, the Houstonians are every different race anymore.
I think every single teacher needs training on how to recognize the signs of child abuse, child sexual abuse, and human trafficking, because every student is going to express it differently. And like you said in your book, you may be the most well-prepared and well-behaved A student sitting in the class while you are screaming on the inside asking mm-hmm. for help. So it's not always the the signs that the traditional signs, right? The textbook signs, certain things are affected by culture, and you were affected by your family culture. And you communicated in the best ways you knew how through your culture at that time. So I think teachers, it's critical that teachers get trained in that.
Yeah, I do too. On the other side of this last break, I really want to pick your brain just a little bit about how important you think trauma-informed awareness is in our society right now, and maybe a couple of the stigmas that we place on folks that we should probably flush away and get rid of in our society. And then I want to just give you the opportunity to share with whatever's on your heart that you want to make sure that our listeners here tonight that come straight from the wisdom and experience that you have. So we're going to do that on the other side of this break. 888-627-6008. You can call in or you can give right here on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page and all the other different platforms that it's on live tonight. We'll be right back after this last commercial break. Hang with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back to Breaking the Silence. You know, Milo, I'm looking at just some of the things that you do in our community. This is phenomenal. You're involved with MD Anderson, with Rice University, and all these different organizations. the Institute of Urban Research and Texas Association of Healthcare Interpreters and Translators, and your founding member, and unbelievable work. So this, again, you thrive on giving back to the community with your, not only with your business, but with your time and your talent, right?
Well, I do my best as much as I possibly can. And I think if we all do a little bit, or, you know, as much as we can, then it takes a village to take care of anything, right?
Right. You have your own radio show. Matter of fact, I'm going to be on here the next week or so, I believe, on your program. Tell us about your radio program and how we can listen in.
Our radio show, or as podcast, it's called Language Matters, and we talk about different issues because language rights are human rights, and some of the challenges that people have is, for example, as simple as disaster communication during events like Harvey that we experienced here in Houston, big flood. We may have had communication in top 5, top 10 languages, but what about speakers of minority languages? Did they get communication? Or when we had the freeze and they were talking about the fact that don't drink the drinking water. Okay, maybe 10 linguistic communities got it, but if you're a speaker of minority language, would you hear that? Probably not. And then on top of that, there is some very serious disparities in the world. Globally, 40% of people don't have access to education in their language. And as a result, people feed, I believe about somewhere around 170 million people feed into extreme poverty, not just poverty. So that's never getting a chance. You have huge communities that don't have access to the internet because their language is not digitized. For example, Norwegian, you have, you know, somewhere around 9-10 million speakers of Norwegian, and their language is digitized. But Fulani people, there are 70 million speakers of Fulani language, and their language has no digital presence. That means you cannot Google the internet. You cannot open the Wikipedia. You cannot find info. You don't have that opportunity. And a large number of people find themselves in that case. Talking about how language matters is what the show is about, and then so hopefully people can join and learn more about human rights as part of language rights being part of human rights.
And you know, I have to be honest with you, I never put the two together, and that's me being naive, not understanding, but you've opened my eyes and hopefully all of our listeners' eyes that is. When you don't have ability to communicate, it is a disparity and it's an abuse. It's a misleading of people. I think just to show people in our listening audience what kind of heart you have, when you contacted me, you said you wanted to translate my books into languages. It's like I've never had anybody approach me about that, and it's awesome. And I really want to give with you and do this, but that's just one of the many things that you offer. But that's an unbelievable heart to just to call and say, "Hey, can we do this for you?" And I appreciate that.
Yeah, people need to hear your message. People need a lot of people, unfortunately, are suffering. A lot of people are being hurt. A lot of kids are being hurt. And it seems to be like this perpetual cycle. A lot of people who have been hurt then go on to hurt somebody else because they have unresolved anger and unresolved emotions. And stopping that cycle is I think critically important, and I want to emphasize again your message at the beginning of the show. It's our perceptions, it's what we do with it. Yeah. And we may have no power about our past, but it's what can we do about our present. And I think it's so important that you teach people how to do that.
Well, I have a feeling that maybe you understand a little bit of that, some of that pain, some of that hurt, some of that neglect or whatever in your own personal life, or you wouldn't have a heart that's so open to helping people now that you see, you know. And I think once we deal with our own insecurities and our own issues, it opens and takes the scales off our eyes to other people and how we need to be understanding of their trauma and their hurt and pain. So in language, how important is that being trauma informed from the world that you see in the medical world, education?
Well, I think it's incredibly important, but I would like to say that it's incredibly important to be trauma informed everywhere. We want to have trauma informed judges in the judicial system. We want to have trauma informed police. We want to have trauma informed teachers, trauma informed medical professionals, because trauma informed, we talk about principles, understanding the entire human being, building trust, right? The principle of empowerment. And we see cases where maybe a person is sent to jail because somebody perceives that they're lying, because they take too long to communicate some information, because maybe the judge is not trauma informed, or maybe somebody walks off because they are very, very elaborate in the way they speak and they communicate, and they happen to be their abuser or the trafficker. And they are elaborate in the way they communicate, right? They're professional con artists in a way. And then the person who is sitting on the victim/survivor side is not elaborate in their communication. And looking at that person as a whole individual and going, what is their story? What is the truth behind this? It's not always the one who speaks well. It's the person who needs help the most. How can we speak for those people? So I think trauma-informed would be, if I had a magic wand, I would have it in every level of society that is involved around people, and especially children and teenagers that need help.
Yeah, my heart is starting to really, I've always been very drawn to children when it comes to them being in pain and wanting to help comfort that. But I think our world has really let down a generation or two of people. And I really have a total belief that our teenagers and our 20-year-olds and our millennials are going to bring in a whole different way our world handles problems by the way they've had to deal with their own and adapting to the lack of the way we did it. Because we were handling them wrong. And I think we could do a better job.
Well, I also want to bring the point or drive a point to the listeners on your program that if you're listening to this program and you have been through trauma, in a way, you now have special powers to help people who are going through trauma who cannot ask for help. Because you have that ability to see through it. You have that ability to understand. What does it mean to not be heard? What does it mean to be emotionally shut down? What does it mean to deal with grief and shame? And once you have that firsthand experience, you're actually able to read other people and identify people who need help a lot better. And you are much more effective at helping them and guiding them. So that's another thing that you bring to the world, Dr. Williams, because you've had firsthand experience, and that's why you can relate and you can actually help people heal.
You know, that's so important. I won't even tell you where, how, or what organization I was with, but I was with the organization in the last couple of years, and it was in a huge board meeting room. Everybody was in suits and ties and, you know, their best business gear. And we was talking about how we was going to come up with a program to help children that have been abused and hurt. And they started chasing rabbits that meant absolutely nothing. And I was starting to feel agitated. And I finally said, hey, wait, how many people around this table have ever been abused? as a child or experienced any of this type of trauma. Not one had ever experienced it. And I said, oh, wait, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but you have no idea what it's like. You can't learn this from textbooks. And, you know, those that have been to, I'm applauding and giving accolades to the last comment you just made, that those that have been down that road have a different journey that people that have never would never understand what it looks like as you travel the road. It's a rough road. And when we can grab a hold of somebody's hand along the way that's been down that to help them down their journey, to me, that's what life is all about for the rest of my life now. Is, hey, I'm going to cross paths with you or somebody else that has been in a situation. This is what I've learned. What can I learn from you? And that's what I'm hoping to learn from you on your program. And you being here is, how can I be more open-eyed and open-hearted to my deficiency in understanding the different languages?
And we, just the fact being open-minded, for those who still have that question, you know, I would give a very quick answer again. Being open-minded, having an open mind and an open heart. Open mind in terms of non-judgment and in terms of asking that question, why? And an open heart in terms of heart full of love. I've learned recently that we can actually smell both fear and love, and you probably know a lot more about it, right? We have pheromones that we will produce at the times of fear, and we have oxytocin receptors, I was told, in our nose that we can smell, in a way, sense oxytocin, and oxytocin is a hormone produced when we experience love. I learned that from somebody giving a presentation on trauma-informed care for prematurely born infants, that if you are giving care to an infant and you are absent, your heart is absent, that infant will not recover as well as if you may be just holding that infant, not even being a medical professional, but being a full open heart, because we sense love and love heals. So when we have experienced trauma firsthand, when we experienced abuse firsthand, having that understanding and being with that person with an open heart, helping them rebuild trust, because trust is the thing that one of the things that's broken the most. And you can probably speak firsthand on that, Dr. Williams, about how you can hear all about trust. And yes, they tell me to trust, but deep inside, you just don't trust anymore once that trust is broken. And it's pretty much nothing that can be done. It's most difficult thing to rebuild is that trust.
So important. Our society needs to understand that. I mean, I can see your work being so important in police involvement, in first responders, and like you said, in so many different categories that I never really thought about. Because, you know, when a policeman comes up to me, I'm from a world that trusts policemen. But if you're from a culture or an environment or a part of town where you don't, that's a whole different element. And just, you have opened my eyes so much tonight. I appreciate this. Is there anything in the last minute that we have together that, Milo, you want to make sure that our listening audience gets from you, that you want to just leave a closing thought?
The closing thought is that making a difference in the life of that one person. And so there is the power of one. And no matter how influential or how you think you can't influence anything or anybody, you have that power of one, and that power of one has changed worlds and has changed countries. And right now we're seeing Elon Musk is just the one guy who started as a one guy, and he's taking us to Mars and making a lot of change, right? So we all have the power to make a difference in the life of one person. And even if that one person is just ourselves, we have a big impact on others. So I want for each person who's listening to the show to remember that they have tremendous power to make a big impact in the world.
That is such a good message. I remember I had a thriver from human trafficking on the program about a year and a half ago. I think it was one of the first human trafficking people we had on. And she talked about, I asked about who's made a difference in her world. And she talked about the security guard at her high school. And I said, well, how was that? She said, every morning he looked at me and he said, good morning, how are you? And that was all that he ever said every day, but he meant it and it impacted her. And it's amazing that I think we fall in and cross people's paths every day, thousands of different people, different ways. And sometimes all it is showing a little bit of kindness can make all the difference in a person's life.
And we sense that. We sense that, and apparently we're even built to sense that. We can sense love the same way as we can sense hate. And so we have the power to open our heart to love ourselves and others.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, I agree with you, Mala. Thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for sharing with us the entire hour. And I'm looking forward to being on your program. And if you want to get in touch with you, it is masterword.com, correct?
That's correct.
And that'll get you straight to her. I want to also thank Frankie and everybody on your staff that has been so kind with the way they've interacted with me and was responsive to me. And I'm looking forward to doing some business with you and collaborating on some things with you. Thank you for your time, Mala.
We're looking forward to taking your message to other communities.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to letting that happen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, sir.
As we like to do every and each week, every time, every Sunday night, I end this way. No matter what is going on in your world right now, no matter what you're facing, what you face, no matter what those yesterdays look like, or what even tomorrow looks like, try to find joy in today. Try to find and reach for and hang on to hope. There's always hope. Join us right here next week, live from Houston, Texas, 8 p.m. Central Time, from the most beautiful city ever, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have an awesome week and stay cool out there in this warm weather. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.